Thank you for that, and welcome back to the show. You hear that music, and you know it's time for SalesportTalk.com, 9:40 on a Tuesday. And we are here with our good friend Karen Lyle, who will co-host this segment with me from SalesportTalk.com. Karen, I know that you had a lot of fun in England, as you always do. And are you still there, or are you back? You're back?
Oh, I'm back. I'm back. I'm back. I'm actually looking at the fog. How did that get here?
Oh, the fog has been crazy all through NorCal right now. Yeah, something's going
on. I know.
I'll have to ask Greta Thunberg
really,
about
that.
Really,
there was no fog in London. I think it all came here.
Climate change, y'all. All right. Let's talk about, because we were speaking to some people when you were there at the Royal Thames Yacht Club, the 250th anniversary, a year older than our own country, at Battersea Park in London. How was that?
You know, that was really an amazing party. I have to admit, I've been a member of the Royal Thames Yacht Club for maybe about 3 or 4 years, but a lot of times when I travel to London, I'm not there at a time when they're having an event, and you know, so I haven't met, like, I've met members here and there, but not everybody all together. But this was the second to the last party that they were having. In a long line of events to celebrate the 250th year. And there were about 900 people there, and they were from all over the world. And because the Royal Thames Yacht Club has a lot of overseas members as well as people who are members, you know, just been around for a long time. So so I got an opportunity to really meet and party with the other members and to get more of the feel and the vibe of that, of how that works, how that whole culture and that club that has His Royal Highness King Charles as the patron, but really, you know, how all of that kind of fits together. It was really interesting. I mean, you can ask me questions about it if you'd like.
Well, this is why I'm here. When
you know, you're good at that, actually. I think you know how to ask questions.
I've done it a little while.
Yeah, I think so. Maybe.
Who was the highest ranking person of peerage or blue blood or knight or baron or baroness that you've rubbed shoulders with?
That I have rubbed shoulders with? I guess you know, for me, usually I'm in the presence of royalty when I'm in London, but I'm not, you know, I have, now, last time you said that I had been suited and booted. I have not been suited and booted because as an American, I can't be suited and booted.
Of course, I told you. That's why we had a revolution, yeah.
Right. And so, so usually when I've seen the king and the queen and so forth, it's been at an event, but they're in the royal box and, you know, separated from the rest of us. I know a lot of people who know them personally because they're either knights or they have been suited and booted, as you say, right? But I probably the most significant experience for me, and you'll remember this, was when I was in the Churchill bunker. Remember that?
His war rooms, yeah.
Yes, his war rooms. And that was Baroness Goldie, who is the Minister of Defense. And when she gave me the, you know, the Sanctuary Award on behalf of the UK Armed Forces Equine Charity. So that was probably the highest ranking royal person, I mean, person who has a title. And there, people have titles, you know, who are also in Parliament or in working in positions and so forth. So titles are kind of very, very prevalent there. You know, it's just part of the whole culture.
You know, I was looking at some of the benefits of being a member of the Royal Thames Yacht Club, and one of them, it says access to our sonars. Now, to me, a sonar is a way of, you know, finding fish or submarines underneath the boat, but sonars are also the name of a little sailboat, like 2 or 4 man crews, right?
Right. And they have sonars that I believe are on the Thames, and also they have boats up in Cowes. And so they do have a really active youth program. And usually that's where the, you know, people will start out sailing. And I have to say that this is the oldest yacht club, continuing yacht club, and that is in the world. And one of the things that I've really noticed is because it's been around for a long time, it has a lot of maturity in the way in which all of the different classes intermingle. You know, here in America, we don't talk about classes that much, but there is a lot of separation between people who have money or people who have opportunity and don't. But in a yacht club, in Royal Thames Yacht Club, what you see is you see people who have money buying boats that are wonderful, and those become a platform for the team. And the teams are coming from people who get skill from various, they're not necessarily coming from areas of privilege. And so when I was at this party, I was seeing like all the different tables. There were 900 people, there were tables of 10. And I was at one of the tables at 10, and there was somebody who owned probably a couple $1 million boat. There were other people who had crewed on it, and they weren't coming from a place of having a lot of money or privilege, but they were all had gotten to know each other really well, had sailed together, and there's just this real sense of camaraderie. And because there doesn't seem to be a hang up about, oh, I have more than you or I have less than you. It's really just about sailing and ocean sustainability and perpetuating traditions and keeping the spirit alive. And I think that really comes from just the maturity of the club.
What would you say, because we know there's a caste system over there and to the manor born, and even soccer players, if they've been with a team a long time, the broadcasters will say, he's been a good servant to the club. An American would never want to be called a servant. You know, it's just that kind of thing that's going to take a few more centuries or not in their culture. So do you ever find yourself when someone says, well, she's a Yank, maybe we don't want her, let her in, or maybe even this is no place for a woman? Like, have you ever encountered any of that?
You know, I actually find less of that in the areas that I'm in, Westminster, than I find here in the United States, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So I have found myself to be absolutely embraced as a woman, who has leadership abilities and skills and innovation, and not any hint of, oh, you're an American, we don't want you. Really a great deal of admiration for America. Now, I am mostly, I guess I would say, I'd say that is really across the classes, though. I mean, even the cabbie, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, but I'm in the Westminster area when I'm in London oftentimes, and so that is kind of its own little community, but it's right there in the heart where Buckingham Palace, and it's a place where all of the classes are intermingling, but there's a lot more generosity between people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I do have to say that, of course, there was a protest when I was there in the club, and one of the staff, who was a former Met police officer, said to me, "Don't go out today," because there was some things that probably people knew about in the news, and it was right there around the corner of, St. James was blocked off in that area, St. James Square that I was in. But, it's not that there isn't unrest and there isn't problems in London, just like there is in any international city. It's just that what I'm seeing is the cultures where history and old traditions are being maintained tend to be a little bit more gentler and kinder in the interior of it than I see when people don't acknowledge their history.
By the way, the PCs, the police constables, those were my guys, because when I briefly coached football to the Metropolitan Police Department, that was on the north side of the Thames in Hertfordshire in Bushey, which was just outside Watford. And so I coached cops trying to learn American football, and that was a lot
is
of fun.
Is that right?
Yeah, and then one of them had me coach his 14-year-old son's basketball team in Hemel Hempstead, because they didn't know anything about basketball either. So I was glad to help. So those were kind of like my peeps back there.
Oh, yes. And well, see, and you were an American. They weren't treating you bad, right?
Well, they had something that they thought, at least, I had to offer, which was how to properly play the sport that they loved. You know, because in soccer, you punch somebody, not only do you get kicked out of the game, you play a man down and you've let your team down and you're suspended the next two games. What a great sport that you can annihilate someone like American football. Plus, you put on a helmet like a gladiator. Oh, they want to play it so bad.
I know, it's true. Actually, when I was in Malta. And when I was in Malta, mm-hmm. there was this guy who was a store owner in like one of the little stores, and he was listening to American football, and it was probably on the American Forces Network or something. It was about that. I think he actually might have listened to the sports byline or something in Malta. And he was just like, he was like, all these questions about American football. Oh my gosh, it's so great.
Well, you know, it's the way that they have, I mean, this was in 2002. I took back-to-back years when I was 2002, 2003, I was in London. I took a meeting at Transworld International to see, in Hammersmith, to see if we could get Premier League soccer on Sports Byline. And I remember a guy who was sort of my handler, he said, "What are the Raiders going to do now that they've fired Callahan?" And I was like, you know about that? I mean, that, yeah, there was a lot more. That was, you know, 20-some years ago now, too.
No, there are Westernophiles in London. I have to tell you, I had Lady Alex Foley, who's a friend of mine, and she, you know, she is, you know, part of the, you know, she is a lady officially, and her father was a lord, and her mother was a lady. She took me to the Chelsea Art Club the first week that I was there, and I was really, really shocked. They were having a Western music, country music party at the Chelsea Yacht Club, and she had like all the gear. She had like the, you know, like boots, you know, cowboy boots, and, you know, and a jacket. And she was like so jazzed up about this.
All of Europe loves cowboys and hats and six shooters and all that.
You guys are Westernophiles, but I'm looking at this, and this is like a Ralph Lauren jacket, right?
Yeah. What do you think? Adam and the Ants dressed up like Native Americans with war paint and everything, right?
No, and I was talking to one of my other friends in London. He was going, "I can't unsee that. I'm really sorry you told me about that."
All right, before we let you go, anything else, Karen? We got about a minute.
Oh, well, you know, I do have, I'm going to give you a teaser. So while I was there in London, I got connected to space and the ocean. So I'm going to have a special guest next week. We're going to talk a little bit about unfolding that story, which is going to be quite interesting.
Good
stuff. Never know what you're going to find. You never know what you're going to find in the In-N-Out Naval and Military Club and the Goat Brasserie when you go down for dinner. You just never know.
That's great stuff. Lots of networking going on. Karen Lowell with SalesportTalk.com. Go to the website. And Karen, as always, thanks for coming on.
Well, good talking to you, Rick, as always. Love to hear about your history there, too. That was great.
All right. Good stuff. I'm Rick Tittle. We'll take a quick break. Come on back on Tittleating Sports.